Now I'm going to go to Matt Chandler. And again, 10 years ago, Matt Chandler was one of my favorite preachers. He's been deeply influenced by Eric Mason, one of his close friends. So he's definitely gone into the woke movement, and he certainly has gone into woke thinking. Listen to his message from the same conference. This is MLK 50 in 2018. I'm going to show you three clips if I have time, and all three of them are pretty troubling. The first clip is when he said he first started talking about this, the race issue in his church, and he was talking about it. He did a video on white privilege, and he was talking about it from the woke perspective, okay? Although he will deny that's what he's doing. That's clearly what he's doing. Listen to what he says happened when he first started preaching this way, which is using basically Marxist categories to talk about race. That's not what he would say, but that's what he's doing. Listen to what happened when he first preached on the issue of these racial issues.
And yet, there were these inconsistencies around this topic that were confusing to me. And again, I'm not talking about fools. 300 fools left when we first broached the subject. And there wasn't any lament in our elder room about that, other than the normal lament that you lament concerning a fool.
So when he started talking about white privilege and these kinds of things from the pulpit, 300 people left his church, and he calls all of them fools. That's what wokeness does to your thinking. And when people go, this, they probably didn't know it in 2016 what he was doing, but they probably smelled something's wrong with the way he's framing the race issue. He's not talking about this the right way. Something's not right. I'm out of here. And 300 people left. He said, we didn't even weep for them. We got in the elder room. We're like, yeah, 300 fools left our church because they don't like what we're saying. Now let's look at the next clip here. This is at 1943.
A lot of this is going to hinge on relationships. And now I want to clarify something. I am not asking you to find the black person that agrees with you.
If you couldn't tell, a woman in the audience yelled at the top of her lungs, hell yes, when he said that.
Agrees with you.
But I'm not going to blame him for that. Let's keep listening.
Becoming friends with the African-American that agrees with everything you say isn't helpful to you as a white evangelical and probably has that African-American trying to win approval or position.
Wow. So let me translate. If you find an African-American and you hire him on your into a church that's mostly Caucasian-American, and that person does not embrace the woke worldview, then what he says is that person is probably, he's a black person trying to win approval or position.
He said,
probably. That is in and of itself
a
racial stereotype. So again, this is what wokeness does to your thinking. I have loved Matt Chandler for many years. I learned a lot from him 10, 15 years ago in Bible college. He was one of my favorite preachers. I recommended him. I've read his stuff. I've been a huge Matt Chandler fan up until the last, four, five, six, since 2018. And this is the kind of stuff that he is saying. Greg, reflections on that comment?
Well, like I said, that's just absolutely racist. And I think this gets to another aspect of critical race theory is it assumes that it can identify all the motives of someone's heart that they themselves don't know. And if you say, no, that's not true, think about this. As Christians, we can make claims about people's minds and hearts if Scripture does. So we have an overarching perspective by which to speak about somebody. This movement, you said it, it's taking religious tones. We know your heart, and you are fundamentally sinful in this. You are fundamentally broken in this. And so if any black person anywhere wants to become a member of a more white church and they're not talking like him, well, you obviously are deficient as a black person.
You're trying to win approval and position.
And so it's assuming a motive that there's, how do you even begin to measure that? You assert it, you say it, and you move on. Because in situations like this, there's no, well, let me prove that to you with examples, with statistics. It's, no, that's just how it is. And hey, it's an emotionally gripping narrative, so hey, let's just go with it. That's how it works.
Okay, this is the last one. This one's the most famous of his whole message. If you've seen By What Standard, you've seen this clip already. Listen to this. Oh, before I play it, so... If you listen in context, if you remember, the Village Church, his church used to have, it was a multi-site church. They had a bunch of big campuses. And then they decided to stop, which was, a noble thing. So Matt Chandler's only pastoring one in-person church, and the other campuses are, multi-million dollar buildings with thousands of people, and they're giving them to new lead pastors. Does that make sense? So they're finding new lead pastors, which I think was a good, I think that was a wise thing to do. And when they were in the process, they hired a firm, and he said, I want you to find me an African-American man who can pastor one of these campus churches. And there's nothing inherently wrong with that, but listen to what he says here.
And so one of the firms that's helping us find men said, let me ask you a question, Pastor Matt. If we find an Anglo 8 and an African-American 7, which one do you want? I said, I want the African-American 7. And he said, what if we find an Anglo 8 and an African-American 6? And I said, then give me the Anglo 8, because the African-American 6 will look and feel to our people like the kind of tokenism that I'm preaching against.
I think it's phenomenal. If he has an African-American pastor pastoring one of his churches, that's phenomenal. I got absolutely no problem with that. That would be great. I got no problem with that. Here's the problem. Do you hear the logic? If I have a less qualified African-American pastor, I will take him over a more qualified Caucasian-American pastor. Something is just deeply wrong with that way of thinking. If you're going to find one lead pastor for this campus church over here with 2,000 people, I want to find the best person you can find is who you want to put in there, regardless of skin color. If the person is African-American, awesome. If they're Asian-American, awesome. If they're white American, awesome. Hispanic-American, awesome. I don't care what their skin color is. I just want to find someone who's going to be good at leading that church. And so to say, I'm going to pick a 7 over an 8 because of skin color, that is a woke way of thinking. This is really impacting what they call like major evangelical places. So, okay, so this is Eric Mason. Again, a guy I used to endorse. 10 years ago, I would have endorsed his book on manhood, which I still have at my house. I liked Eric Mason 10 years ago. Now, I don't even know what has happened. He's gone. He's the one that wrote Woke Church. Now, just, I want you to hear, because this is hard to believe. This is at a Gospel Coalition event. This is at MLK 50 in 2018. He said this into a microphone, and to my knowledge, has never apologized for it. Listen to this. He's talking about hiring African-Americans in largely white spaces. And he says this.
And which you try to cause racial reconciliation, like through hiring non-qualified African-Americans to be the multi-ethnic engineers in your local churches. And you know they're not qualified because blacks haven't hired them. And it works against unity when you hire somebody that we're not feeling, and you're wondering why multi-ethnicity isn't happening at your church. It's because you have a person that's black on the outside, but Angloid on the inside.
Okay, now you may have, there's two major problems with that last comment. I'm gonna play it again because it's hard to believe he just said that. Listen to that again.
And you're wondering why multi-ethnicity isn't happening at your church. It's because you have a person that's black on the outside, but Angloid on the inside.
Now, two big problems. I had to look up the word Angloid. I'd never heard that word before. It is a racial slang derogatory term against white people. Like Negroid. And like other words like that. So it's related to that word. Angloid means an ugly person of English ancestry. It's a derogatory racial term for white people. He said this at a Gospel Coalition event through a microphone and never apologized. And I don't know that anyone ever really called him on it. Now, that's problem number one. He used a racial term against white people and no one bats an eye because it's MLK 50 and everything. It's fine. Okay, that CRT, that can only happen in a world where everyone is going into the woke movement. Secondly, and I think even more troubling than the racial term, because you can get rid of the term and still have the bad doctrinal view. This is what he just said. It's a kind of what they call racial essentialism. It's the idea that there is an authentic white voice and there is an authentic black voice. There's an authentic white experience and authentic black experience. And if Vodi Bakum speaks non-woke words, he's speaking as a black body but a white voice. That is an actual kind of racism. In other words, you're saying you're not truly black because you're not woke. That's what he is saying. And so he says, listen, you don't want to hire somebody who rejects critical race theory and wokeness and all these things because it's going to look like it's a black body, but he's an Angloid on the inside. So not only is there a racial term that's derogatory against people of English ancestry, which is majorly troubling, can you imagine if it had gone the other direction? Imagine a white person using a derogatory racial term against a black person in this context. That would be outrageous. People would burn the place down, and appropriately so. But when it goes the other way, why doesn't anyone call him on it? Second of all, race essentialism is a terrible belief, that there's an authentic black voice, and to not embrace the woke view is to not be authentically black. Like they would say Virgil and Daryl and Vodi and all these guys are not authentically black because they don't embrace the woke church movement. So this is really going on. I mean, this is really out there, and people really are expressing deeply troubling views on race. Thoughts on, and by the way, if you don't know, this is Paul Tripp's pastor. I love Paul Tripp. Paul Tripp's one of my favorite Christian writers. This is his pastor in Philadelphia.
The problem with doing what he did is it's dismissal without engagement. Is if I can label you a certain way, I don't have to engage what you're saying. I can dismiss it, I can forget about it, and keep doing what I'm doing. That's actually a coward's way out, because it's refusing to actually engage ideas. It's refusing to engage people as individuals. He basically just denied the individuality of a lot of people who have the same color skin. They're not really individuals.
Mm-hmm.
That's a problem. Every person is an individual. Every person has a right to think for themselves, form their own conclusions based on, you know, all the factors that go into that. And so he's denying the individuality of people. And that is just a coward's way out of having an argument. Like, he's avoiding the debate altogether by, well, they're just black on the outside, angloid on well, I don't have to deal with them. I don't have to listen to them. I don't have to, you know, they don't. But because I said that, they have nothing of value to ever add to this conversation. Do you hear the dehumanization in that? That is absolutely dehumanizing a large number of people. And if you hear anything from us, I hope you do not hear that. Like, we want to engage people. I don't care what color skin they have. I don't care what position they come from. If they've got something that's having influence, let's look at it. Let's look at them. Let's engage them. Let's hear what they have to say. And if it lines up with the truth, that's great. If it doesn't line up with the truth, well, we'll show why that happens and why we should avoid it. But I'm not going to treat them as less than human, because that's exactly what he just did.